The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to
Well, good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. A Monday after as bleak a weekend as you're ever going to see or experience in Philadelphia. And I was at the beach hanging out all weekend. And I say, you know, I'm going to commit to this Sunday with the Eagles Phillies and get a couple of wins. And at the end of the night, I found myself pondering sports life. And in that ponder, I came to the conclusion that right now, none of us, absolutely not one of us, has any sports pride. It has been snatched from us completely. There is not one prideful sports thought that is going through our heads right now after what happened this weekend. So let's start with the... I don't even want to start with the Phillies, but let's go right into the Eagles, and then we'll double back. So when you watch this game, you go, Let's just focus on the end of the game, because the whole game, really, you can talk about, and I'll run out of time until we get to the first commercial. So let's focus on the end game, which is really the most important thing out of that game yesterday. And let's focus on the coach and what he did. And I'm looking at the game and I'm going, this coach has never been a great thinker on his feet. And so yesterday it plays out to the T. After the game, the guy goes, well, when questioned about the circumstance that made him punt the ball on that fourth time in overtime, he said, well, I'll have to look at it with clearer eyes. Now, the game's over. Where we need the clear eyes is at the moment. See, that's what a coach is all about. You don't wait for clear eyes. You have clear eyes based on your expertise and feel for the game at the time. And I want you to ponder that for a second. Here is a coach who said, I got to look at it with clear eyes, meaning he choked at the moment. Now, here's how he choked at the moment. He was more afraid to lose the game than to win the game. Now, that hasn't been really touched on very much today. He looking at his mind, instead of processing it to the end, to the strategical end, the thought that prevailed in his head was this. I can't lose this game. I'd be 0-3. See, 0-2 with a tie, the Wolves bark less at the door. When you're 0-3, they come hard after you. He took the easy road out so as not to lose his third game rather than to try to win his first game. And if you don't think that's true, I want you to think about this long and hard on his decisions. This is a guy who has cultivated an image, basically by himself, that he's some riverboat gambler, aggressive coach who goes for stuff. In that situation, he turtled up and said, I'm afraid to lose the game. It's like I relate this to, if you've ever played golf in a match, right? So if you're playing a money match with somebody, it's for good, or it's some kind of a championship match. Like I played a couple weeks ago, and I get down two holes after the first four, and the fifth hole, I got to clear water with, I don't know, 200-yard hybrid club, I'm probably not going to do it there because I can't go down three holes after five. I got to play that one safe. In the situation Doug Peterson was in, there was no other choice but to try to win the game. There's no tomorrow. You can't catch up later. So you can't make the conservative call. And that's what he did. He was afraid to lose the game. Now, a guy that thinks on his feet says this. There are two things that I could do to possibly win this game. One is I could send my field goal kicker out after my dumbass left guard has a false start at the worst possible time on earth. And I can send my kicker, who has made a 61-yarder, to kick a 64-yarder. Or I can try to go for a first down, trusting my quarterback to go down the field. Either scenario doesn't give the other team the time to win the game. Now think about it. There are 19 seconds left. If he tries to kick that ball, how many seconds go off the clock? Six? It's a long field goal. That ball's going to be air for a long time. The snap, the kick in the air. How much time is going to be left if he tries the field goal and misses it? Mind you, that other team doesn't have a timeout. And so is it feasible that they can throw a pass down the field that gets him in the field goal range in the middle of the field? If you've got the sidelines covered and they can't go out of bounds? In the middle of the field, you're telling me they can spot the ball, get their field goal kicker team on the field to win the game? It's unlikely. Now, if he goes for it and misses it, they got to go a longer period of time under the same circumstance. Now, that's called thinking on your feet. And that's called having these analytic yo-yos up in the box, 17 different assistant coaches that could have his ear. And that's the way the decision comes out, because this guy would rather not lose than win. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. Now let's go to the quarterback. I keep hearing, well, he's in his head. He's not confident. He's this. He's that. They spooked him. And I've been a culprit in it. It doesn't do him any favors to have Jalen Hurts there. And now I've come to the conclusion that, what are you, soft? Who cares now? All right, so they didn't do right by you. They didn't cultivate you from the jump. Does that give you the excuse to play like you're playing? Like a novice? And so let me go back to the start with Carson Wentz, because I try to go back to the start and analyze it psychologically. Carson Wentz has built-in insecurity DNA. Why? Two reasons. Number one, he's from North Dakota. Number two, he went to a smaller school, North Dakota State. So when he comes into the NFL, he probably has this, gee, can I compete at that level mentality? Now, he started too early because there was nothing to lose. People weren't expecting anything. He was a young guy. Whatever you get from him is golden. And now when it really matters, his insecurities have engulfed him. And if his insecurities have engulfed him, what do I have? What do I have? I don't want a quarterback whose insecurities engulf him. I'm not going to win with a quarterback whose insecurities engulf him. The Eagles right now are a train wreck forged by incompetent management and right now, lousy coaching. And this year has been blown apart already. Unless a miracle happens and they can find a way to beat two superior teams on the road and maybe the best team in the NFL at home. And now you're looking at what? 0-5-1? Seriously. The pride has been snatched from us as a Philadelphia fan. Now let me go to the Phillies. The Philadelphia Phillies disgraced us this weekend. Yes, you heard it right. Even with the injuries that they have, and even with the knick-knack here and the rotation and the bullpen and all that stuff, they had to win one game, and they had their two best pitchers going. And at the end of the year, both those pitchers that they pay a lot of money to choked and couldn't deliver it. And we can say all we want about the general manager, who absolutely should be fired. And apparently there's a story today says he's not going to be fired. But we need to look at the manager as well, who has skated completely out of this for reasons that are unclear to me. You want to admire Joe Girardi's resume? Knock yourself out. I admire it too. But you tell me he did a decent job this year. You tell me how he cannot be blamed for this underachieving year when everybody else would have been, including that tool that tried to manage him last year. 7 more wins this guy was supposed to be worth. What'd you get? How many did you get? All right, I'm spilled out, Tyrone. What do you got?
Well, that was strong, Mike. Carson's done it in Philly. I'm saying it out loud.
He's done in Philly.
Yeah,
so you've come to that conclusion.
Yes, that he's done here. I do think he'll be productive somewhere else. I don't know where, obviously. Wherever he goes afterwards, this will... You can't help but get tougher from this amount of failure. The way this is going to end, I do think he'll go somewhere else, but I don't think between what you mentioned, the Super Bowl, everything else, he is not strong enough mentally to overcome this. It's now his fault. We've laid out the issues. They haven't done right by him. That's still a fact. They've been trying to push him out. That's still a fact. He's letting them do it. That's all his fault. Because if he played well, none of the stuff they do matters. He stinks right now. He stinks right now, and I think he will stink with the Eagles, period. The coach stinks. The general manager stinks. The defensive coordinator stinks. The defense stinks. Other than that, they're solid. And as far as the Phillies go, that was pathetic, despicable. And Aaron Nola, I don't want to hear Ace and his name ever again. He stinks in September now. 17 starts in September the last 3 years. 4.44 ERA. He can't get you through the fourth inning yesterday. That's an ace. In addition to the manager stinking and the GM stinking. But again, other than the ace, the general manager, and the manager not being good, the Phillies are solid as well.
All right. So we'll get to a break. It was funny because I was listening to all the post-game stuff after the Eagles game. And Carson Wentz comes up. And I'm listening to him speak. And it was like, oh, he do. I'm going, I would have been thrashing myself in public if I had played like that. He goes, well, I missed the throw here, missed the throw there. He should be out there going, and this is a product of insecurity. To cover up his insecurity, he is in denial that he's playing poorly. Like, I would have said, yeah, you know, that interception, I know it was tipped. That's terrible. I'm ashamed of myself for making a throw like that. I can't believe I missed Sanders on that pattern. That's my fault. I'm disgusted with myself. And that's never going to happen again, damn it. I'm tired of this. Instead, he goes, well, you know, I missed a throw here, missed a throw there. Whew. Man, dude. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. We're going to have an active day today, and I'm going to let everybody speak. You heard what I had to say, and then we'll micromanage this game, little elements of the game that we can talk about. But the overall general theme is this coach was content to tie instead of win the game because he didn't want to risk being 0-3 and getting chastised in this city. 0-2-1 makes a little softer landing. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It's the 4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missanelli Show. It's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. But it's also this.
Yes. This is the Fanatic Football Pool.
The Fanatic Football Pool. If you're the fifth caller right now on our contest line, 215-263-0975. Fifth caller, 215-263-0975. You'll qualify for our grand prize drawing if you answer a trivia question correctly. But you'll get $100 if you're the fifth caller right out of the chute from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Good luck to you. Hope really you're the fifth caller. All right, let me get some insight on yesterday's debacle. Wow, listen, it was a tie, so it wasn't a loss. But in any event, this team is in sad shape. And to extrapolate all the data and the video of what was seen yesterday, we bring in the great number 36, Brian Westbrook, brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Windows, Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house. B. West, how you feeling today?
You know, I'm feeling kind of like the Eagles fans, probably all the fans across, the great city of Philadelphia, disappointed, surprised in a way, and also just wondering, where do we go wrong? Where did we go wrong as a football team that we're in a situation where we're here 3 weeks in and still don't have any victories? That's a shame for a football team that we thought would be contending for playoff berths and hopefully, potentially, Super Bowl. Unfortunately, we're in a bad situation as we speak.
All right, let's get into the crux of the game. Okay, now, they didn't do themselves proud all game long, but in the end, they still have a chance to actually win the game because the Cincinnati Bengals are inept as well, and on that one drive, they gift the Eagles up the field with two pass interference penalties. And so here we are now with a chance that they make the big throw to Zach Ertz. And now, this is before the decision. So the drive before that, they make the big throw to Zach Ertz. They get the false start and the hold. And then the play calling, get back in the field position. What did you see?
Well, I just saw a team that, one, we all understand that Carson has just been off. But there has been times, there were series where he looked good. There were series that he moved the ball a little bit better than others. I just saw the play calling to be very basic, no creativity. Again, we're looking for motion. We're looking to make it easier on Carson. And to be able to do that, we talk about motions, we talk about shifts, we talk about putting players in different positions. And maybe it's because of the injuries, and I'm sure that certainly has factored in, but I feel like Doug's creativity has just been decreased. And Mike, I have to be honest, that happens sometimes when your quarterback can't throw the ball to the guys in his own jersey, can't throw the ball accurately. That also happens when you have some injuries. And so I kind of understand it, but at the same time, Doug understood what he was going into this game with. He had to understand that if Deshaun is not able to finish, we have to find some ways to make those types of plays. And unfortunately, he didn't do that.
All right. Now, let's fast forward to thinking on your feet as a coach. When you're watching a game in real time and they're set up to try to kick a 59-yard field goal and Matt Pryor makes a boneheaded play, at that point, you're thinking on your feet, what do you do?
Well, I think you have to go for it at that point. You kind of feel that even if at 0-2, even if you give them the ball, let's say you don't get the first down, you give them the ball with maybe 14, 15 seconds left, it's going to be hard for them to get down the field, get set up, and I'm not sure if they had a timeout. I don't think they did. But it's going to be hard for them to get down the field, get set up, and kick a field goal to win the game. You have to feel that way. But the other part, to me, and I think this is where everyone is a little bit more upset with Doug, is that he's been so aggressive in other situations that you wouldn't even be thinking about not going for it. This is something that we're going to go for, especially if you can't make the field goal, it's out of the range of the kicker of Elliott. And so at that point, I wanted Doug to be aggressive, especially based upon how the game has gone, how the season has gone up to this point. And, you know, a split second decision, he decided to kick it and basically not give his team the chance to win the game, which is something that I'm surprised at.
All right, because players look at it too that way, right? He's saying basically, I don't have any faith in you guys to win this game.
Well, yeah, he's saying that, you know, I don't have any faith of converting that 4th-and-12. I also don't have any faith that if we don't convert it, then my defense can hold. And that's the problem, but that you're really doubting both sides of the ball. And I think when you look at it, quite honestly, when you look at the game, there's evidence to reasons why you might want to doubt both sides of the ball, the way that Joe Burrow and Tyler Boyd moved the ball up and down the field at times during the game. But, you know, listen, you're 0-2. You got to go for broke at some point and play with a little bit of boldness. And unfortunately, Doug didn't do that in that situation. Yeah. And he said it today. He would do something totally different.
Yeah, but he said after the game yesterday, I had to look at it with clear eyes. Dude, you can't afford to have clear eyes the next day. You got to have the clear eyes when you're coaching the game in real time. And it was clear to me he was spooked by the notion of being 0-3 because at 0-2 with a tie, there are fewer wolves at the door for him. And that's weak.
I think for him it probably feels a little bit better to be 0-2-1. I don't know that it makes it feel anyone else feel better. But I think there's something to be said about going through all these situational football in training camp and OTAs, all those different things, because I remember playing and John Harbaugh went through all these situations, quick field goal. Here's the situation. There's 10 seconds left. Can we go out there and get another play and then spike the ball and then run our field goal team on out there? All these things normally are done during training camp and OTAs throughout that process. Unfortunately, some of that was cut short because of COVID. So not to place blame somewhere else, but I think all of those things happen, and that means Doug, because those things didn't happen, all those practices didn't happen, that means Doug has to think a little bit faster on his feet. And yesterday, it didn't go in his favor as we look at it.
All right, let's look at Carson Wentz, who, listen, I'll just let you explain it. You heard him talk after the game. You saw he did make a couple instinctive plays. He got back to running. I get all that. He missed a wide open Sanders. He threw an interception foolishly where the guy was actually covered, and it didn't matter if the ball was going to be tipped. What is up with the dude?
We see a player playing with zero confidence. He's not playing natural and comfortably. And as an athlete, you want to feel natural. You want to feel comfortable because that's when you get your best play. You just go out there and you're not playing tight. You're playing loose. You're comfortable. And that's what every athlete wants. You want things to slow down for you. So now you see things happening before they even happen. And for Carson, it feels like things have sped up and things speed up for young quarterbacks that are inexperienced. And at this point, I can tell Carson is not reading defenses very well at this point, but he also is not understanding play concepts. And if you don't understand your own play concept and you don't understand what the defense is going to do, then that's when you throw interceptions. That's when you throw balls right into the arms of people that are on the other team. And we've seen that constantly. Throughout the entire season, we've seen Carson throw interceptions right to the other players. Not that they're running out of the zones and they're in bad position. It just kind of happens. He's throwing the ball right where these players should be in those zones. And that just tells me that he's struggling to read defenses and understanding concepts of his own offense. And for a fifth-year player, there's really no excuse for that. And I'll tell you, it seems like Doug is frustrated by that. I mean, Doug's a quarterback. He understands these concepts better than anyone. And it seems like he's frustrated by Carson not understanding the concepts and making throws to try to win the game and without that being necessary to win. And I think Doug seems to be a little bit frustrated by that.
All right, Brian, this is a mess, and this season looks like it's shot in the butt after three games. Now they don't have any weapons at all now. Rager's out. DeSean Jackson is probably out. Goddard is out. Their bellwether is Greg Ward, who's a slot receiver, used to be a quarterback, and now they've got to go at San Francisco, at Pittsburgh, and the Ravens in the next three. I mean, what do you do here? How do you actually coach this team through this gauntlet here?
Well, it's certainly going to be tough. We do know that. But we do also know this. We're going back a couple of years that this team rallies around Doug. For whatever reason, they rally around Doug. We have not seen that recently. But they did rally around Doug at the end of last year. They rallied around him, I think, the season before. And so I hope that he can regain the pulse of the team, to regain the confidence of a team to go out there and try to play. You know, I thought going into the game, it was a Doug Peterson game as far as it was going to come down to his play calls. And, you know, of course, the Bengals were one of the worst run teams in the league. He had to say, we're going to hand the ball to Miles Sanders. It came down to the way that he called the game, and I wanted him to take the ball out of Carson Wentz's hands. He didn't do that. He gave the ball to Carson Wentz, and Carson made some mistakes. I still think your best player, most exposed player on offense is Miles Sanders. Somehow in these games, you have to try to find a way to get him going But this is a tough road ahead. 49ers, you talk about the Ravens. I mean, these are two of the best teams in the NFL, even with some injuries out there in San Francisco. It's going to be a tough next three games.
It was as bad a weekend as you could have here in Philadelphia, Brian. Eagles, Phillies. I'm looking around. I see Justin Jefferson. I see CeeDee Lamb. I see Jimmy Butler going to the NBA Finals. I mean, it's wretched right now, bro. I see Nick Foles bringing the Bears back.
Everybody that was in Philly or should be in Philly or could have been in Philly, they all had great weeks. We got to hope that at some point we can have one of those weeks here soon.
Yeah. Keep dreaming. Hey, man, thank you. We appreciate you. Good to talk to you on a Monday.
All right, Mike. Take care. All right,
Brian Westbrook, of course, you heard on the pregame show into that as we got ready for the Cincinnati Bengals. Anyway, Brian's brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Windows, Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
When I have our next guest on, I would like to go first with the quarterback. So let's bring in the great Ron Jaworski. And Ron, let's talk about Carson.
Well, Michael, great to be with you today on a very disappointing Monday afternoon. Clearly, you know, you got to discuss the quarterback first. And I just think of this statement that Sam Darnold made last year, the New York Jets quarterback, during a Monday night game when they had him wired for the game, and they came out of one of the breaks, and one of the comments made was, "I'm seeing ghosts."
Yeah.
And as a quarterback, I know exactly what he means, and I think that's where Carson is right now. He's not seeing the field with any clarity whatsoever, and the term that is used is, he's seeing ghosts. And that's not a good thing, by the way, and he's got to work his way through it. And until he is able to get confidence in himself and trust in himself and belief in himself and confidence in himself, he's going to struggle. He's a guy that needs like an oil change because his elbow and his shoulder are very squeaky right now. From a mechanical standpoint, he doesn't have the confidence to make the throws that he can make.
Ron, I don't know what the proper way to handle this is, but I watched him after the game, and he's going down to the route of denial. Like he gives the impression that, just, you know, a couple of bad throws here. You know, I made a couple good throws, a couple bad. Those things are going to happen. Now, I don't know if that's the proper way to handle it. If Darnold admitted he was seeing ghosts, at least he's admitting to himself, which I think is a good thing to do. Carson seems to be in denial. Do you have any reaction to that?
I would expect him to be a little more angry. I think most guys, when they're in this slump like they are, and certainly six interceptions in three games is awful, and they have been bad interceptions, you know? That's the disappointing thing. It's not like, you know, freaky plays, fluky plays, receiver breaking routes, blah, blah, blah. These have been on Carson, no question. And sometimes you just got to dig deep, and you got to play a little ticked off, you know? You got to play that way. Now, again, I think he played incredibly hard yesterday. Incredibly hard. You know, he ran, he dove, he did everything he could possibly do to help his team to win the game. He makes a great run to get that game tied up. You know, I mean, he played hard. I give him all the credit in the world for that. But right now, the smartness isn't there right now. The turnovers and inaccurate throws continue to plague the Eagles.
You know, anger's a good word, because I just wrote that down before you even said it. Like I would have, and this is just me, or maybe it would have been you. Let's look at the two throws. The one that was tipped and was the interception, he blew off as like, well, you know, when the ball's tipped, blah, 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 blah. And then when he misses Sanders, he goes, well, you're going to hit some, you're going to miss some. I would have said, yeah, I'm angry at myself for missing those two plays. That was a bad read. I got to be better than that. I'm better than that. And I'm missing something with this guy.
Well, Mike, he had no business on the first interception directing the ball where he was directing it. If it wasn't tipped, it was still going to be intercepted. The network showed a great angle of that from the end zone. You could see there was no window to throw the football into. It was going to be picked off by somebody. The underthrow to Ertz was a bad throw. And what kind of bothers me is he can make that throw. That's why I'm saying, you know, he's got to play with a little more anger, a better, more confidence in himself. But that's a throw he can make. I've seen him make that throw. He badly underthrows the football. The one to Sanders, come on, high school quarterbacks make that throw. I mean, you got to make that throw. This is the National Football League where guys are throwing, you know, 75-80% completion percentage in games. It's arena football now. It's, you know, stops or you make a couple stops, you win games. It's chuck and duck, as my friend Merrill Hodge used to like to call it. You know, that's what it's become. It's become a wide open passing game. And you know, when you're missing throws like that and you get off the field, you put your defense in a quandary.
All right. See, here's the thing. I think you can agree with this. This is a quarterback whose confidence is shot, and you're now asking a guy to get his confidence back with very limited weapons. The tight end is now out. DeSean Jackson is out. Alshon's not ready to come back. You're throwing Hightower in there for a million snaps. He doesn't know what the heck he's doing out there. The only reliable wide receiver, and was a quarterback, is Greg Ward. Like, how do we expect them to get it back right now offensively?
Mike, it's going to be difficult. You know, last week, the term I used is the quarterback was broken and the team was broken. You know, there was a very disappointing performance last week against the Rams. And I'm saying, I've got great confidence in Doug and the staff. I really do. I'm thinking, okay, they'll get this turned around. But right now, I mean, I can't say it's broken. It's going to be fixed. The way they played yesterday, that wasn't a very good football team, by the way, that they tied. You know, and it, to me, I almost look at it as a loss, you know, and our dear friend Herman Edwards, you know what he always said, you play to win the game. Well, he didn't win the game, and it's disappointing.
Yeah. Which the
only lifeline we have right now, Mike, is the NFC East is so god awful. You know, 7-8-1 might win a division.
I can't see the Eagles getting seven, but you said the Herman Edwards thing, we play to win the game, which leads me to my next point. The coach did not clearly play to win that game yesterday. He clearly played it not to lose a game, so he wouldn't be 0-3. Now, we expect our coaches to know what they're doing, to think on their feet. And when you look at that situation, after the game, he said, I need to look at it with clearer eyes to see. And then apparently he had clearer eyes today because he said, I should have gone for it. But in real time, he makes a decision that kind of says to his team, we're not good enough to win the game. Well, I'm afraid to lose it. What did you think of that sequence?
Yeah, I thought, and this is just me, you know, I think I know how Doug thinks, and you know, I love the aggressive attitude he's had on going for fourth and down and going for two-point conversions and trying to instill, it's not necessarily you're going for it and all that, it's instilling confidence in your players, that you believe in them, that you're going to give them the chance to make him look good by winning the game. I thought they were going to go for 2 points and try to win the game in regulation. If you got a play that you really like and these coaches work, you know, burn them into it all, if they think they got a play that will work and going for two, hey, go for two and try to win that game in regulation. So, I mean, he didn't do it, and I've got no issue with that. I'm just saying, based on the history of Doug Peterson and his aggressive attitude and, you know, basically believing in his players that they're going to make him look good, I really thought he was going to go for two to try to win the game. I'm not saying it's right, wrong, or different. That was my gut feeling at that time. The 59-yard field goal, we know that can be made. The 64-yarder, again, I'm sure Dave Phipp, when Jake Elliott was on the sideline, you know, what's your distance? I was a holder for the majority of my career. There's always constant communication. Look at the wind. What's it doing? You know, wait, what's our cutoff line? Is it 61, 62, 59? You know, so there probably was some dialogue, and either Dave Phipp or Jake Elliott said, that's out of my range. But, you know, hey, that's not my call. But, again, thinking about it, the way Doug coaches, you know, hey, let's give it a shot here, guys. I trust Jake. Like the, you know, the what's the kick that really got the Eagles on the positive track to their Super Bowl win? Jake Elliott, 61-yard field goal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Some guys muster up enough because the adrenaline rush they get, that 62-63 limit becomes 64-65. I've been around enough kickers in my life. When the adrenaline flows, their leg gets a little bit stronger. So I'm thinking, what was there, 19 seconds left?
Mm-hmm.
Even if he kicks and misses, they're going to get the ball there with 12 seconds, 13
uh-huh.
seconds.
Yeah.
Not enough time. And put at least have the belief in your defense, you're not going to give up, you know, a big play that's going to, you know, give the Bengals a field to win.
Right, but even if you don't kick the field, decide not to kick the field goal, and you try to convert a 4th-and-12, they can't possibly, even if you incomplete that, the only thing, like, even if it's intercepted, they can't win. So the risk is you could make it, or B, if you don't make it, they can't win anyway where we're giving them the ball with no timeouts and 12 seconds left on the clock.
I wouldn't say you can't win. It's not like you're going to win. I mean, they could throw a Hail Mary. We've all seen some crazy things happen late in ball games. I won't say they can't win, but it's the chance of them winning is minuscule because of the time left on the clock and where they get the football. Who knows? Pass interference, crazy stuff that happens in the National Football League, as we know. But I would have liked to have seen the Eagles take a more aggressive approach, which is more of the personality of Doug Peterson, their head coach.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have any problem with it at all.
I got it, Ron. See, that's what's got to be figured out in live action as a coach. I don't think the guy is that great a thinker because he didn't have that figured out that the chances that the Bengals were going to win that game if we took either a field goal shot or a pass shot is probably 10%. And he should know that.
I don't know what he was thinking. I wasn't in his head. But, again, I will agree with you. The chances of the Bengals winning are still very remote if you attempt the field goal or you attempt a fourth down pass.
All right. Where are they? At San Francisco next week with a depleted lineup and a quarterback whose confidence is shaken. At Pittsburgh, the Ravens. Then what?
The Steelers. The Packers.
Yeah, where are? I mean, this almost looks like a disaster, and they're only 0-2-1.
Yeah, well, and the other thing you look at right now is this roster. You know, the number of players that are hurt. You're counting on rookie players, and I know you mentioned John Hightower, and you know, now with DeSean Jackson, how much can you now count on DeSean being a guy that you want to be, you know, your leader in the passing game? I mean, he can't stay on the field. He can't stay healthy. Now you're going to be counting on a lot of young players. You know, how long is Jason Peters going to gut it out? You know, and he's playing just beaten up right now. And, you know, when he gets a little help, he's fine. When he's asked a single block, he struggles a little bit. So the offensive line still isn't where it needs to be to, you know, and just think about I always think of this, where was one of the staples of this team is these offensive linemen out in front of these bubble screens. They get nothing on these screens anymore. Not because they're ineffective, because they don't have the linemen to get out in front of it anymore. They're whiffing on guys or can't get out there. So there's a lot of issues right now with this football team. The secondary, we saw the same thing yesterday that we saw against the Rams. Linebackers, safeties, peering into the backfield, looking and getting out of position. The Bengals ran so many plays similar or replicated the Rams game plan. They got guys open on simple reads. They've got basic, simple plays because the Eagles secondary linebackers continue to look in the backfield.
Ron, it's always a pleasure. We look forward to the big show, the Ron Jaworski Show, on Wednesday night. Where will you be this Wednesday?
Yeah, we'll be at Valley Brook, and you know, my buddy Adam Kaplan, who's a real insider, gets great information. Mike, I didn't get a chance to break the tape down yet today because I went out to Mike Quick's first tee golf outing, but I'm heading home now, and it's the first thing I'm going to plug in because I got to try to figure this out. What's wrong with the football team?
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you, man.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Ron Jaworski on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.